Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw from Cincinnati, Ohio at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room. And we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get started, I would just like to say, last night, Impact Wrestling put on their Slammiversary pay-per-view. And while we won't get into any, you know, major details here today, this is the Raw Report, I think the general consensus is it was certainly better than Extreme Rules, which led Impact to basically tweet, if you felt let down by recent pay-per-views, why don't you try ours? Look at this card. And then they gave you some of the lineup, which sounded like rhetoric until you watch it. And then you say, yeah, this actually was a better wrestling product, which is inexcusable considering the talent the WWE has and the money the WWE has. Anyway, let's jump right into Monday Night Raw. And we start out with everybody on the stage and Vince McMahon in the ring. Vince himself. And Vince calls out Stephanie and Triple H, who have decided that this is such an important announcement that they will simply break kayfabe completely and just come out all smiles and happy and shake Kurt Angle's hand and tell the crowd to get it out of your system, boo us now, because we're going to have something nice to say. Now, folks, I absolutely hate to be cynical. But this speech came very close to making me throw up. First, we get Stephanie McMahon say, it was all a dream, such a dream. The days of 30-second matches with girls. Well, you're the one who perpetrated that. Your father. You use these girls anytime you wanted to. And you girls have all worked, everyone's worked so hard. And I want you to know that all the men behind you, step forward, girls, because all the men behind you support you so much. They support you so much that they all headed off for Saudi Arabia and left your asses home. Okay, let's make that clear. I'm not going to mince any words here. This is exactly what this announcement was. It was throwing the dog a bone for the Saudi Arabia nightmare. That's what it was. All right, girls, we screwed you over. The guys went over there and did the show, and you girls had to stay home. But that's okay, because to make up for it, we're going to give you your own pay-per-view. Yay. Okay. You have your own network. If you wanted to, you could give me your own show. How hard would it be to simply say, we're not going to really feature the women on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown much anymore. We're just going to tape some matches from each show and put them together, and we'll have a show on the network. You could do that in a heartbeat. You could give the women their own show, and it's something we've called for on this program for 2 years. But no, you're not going to get your own show. You're going to get your own pay-per-view. To make up for the pay-per-view you couldn't be at. But it didn't stop there, folks. Then Triple H gets up there and says, we've all watched your evolution, some of us with a tear in their eye. I'm trying really hard not to say what I think because, let me just put it this way, it's disingenuous bullshit. If you had any respect at all for the women's division, if you had any respect at all for the women involved in it, if you had any interest in perpetrating a women's revolution and making the women equal to the men, there is no way on this earth that you would acquiesce to the wishes of a backwards society who says you have to leave your women home. And if you think by throwing them this little cracker, this makes up for you going to Saudi Arabia, signing a 10-year deal with them, where they're never going to be able to go, then you are crazy. And you think your fans are much, much more stupid than they actually are. So while everybody else is blushing and gushing and going crazy about this announcement, and everyone is saying, it's about time, teary-eyed emoji, I'm so proud, smiley face emoji, my face is a vomit emoji. I'm sitting here saying, how ridiculously disingenuous can you possibly be? Don't any of these girls see through this? And I know what you're going to say. Well, look, it's their moment. Let them have their moment. Okay, they didn't get to go to Saudi Arabia, but this is their moment. So they should be happy about it. Not really. Not really. Because what's ending up happening is, you know what it's like? It's like when your family goes on vacation without you, leaves you home with some babysitter, and they go out and have a great time for 2 weeks in Hawaii somewhere, and you're sitting there watching TV, and then they come home and say, oh, we brought you this cool little souvenir, and tomorrow we'll take you to the park. It's not the same. The WWE had their chance, and a big one, a big chance, to stick up for the women in this federation. And now lip service, telling them how wonderful they are and how hard they've worked and how dedicated they are and how their eyes are filled with tears watching them steal the show, does not make up for stabbing them in the back. Doesn't make up for it. Mike, what do you think of the opening?
You're absolutely right on this, and the fact of the matter is that's all it is. I mean, when they first announced the Women's Evolution, we actually speculated that they would absolutely give them their own show, and it never came to pass. This is what it is. We're sorry. But you're not going to be able to go again. And they just so happened to also announce that, there's going to be a Mae Young Classic 2 along
right.
with this. So that's another thing, I'd like to say it's Home Alone, but at least in Home Alone, when Kevin gets left behind, he actually gets to do something, and goes after the bandits. You know, he got to do something there. The women.
The bottom line is these women. I guess they can. I understand that they've worked hard and they're probably happy to have their own pay per view. But nothing will ever really be equal till they have their own show. And the WWE has their own network. And I know people are going to say production cost would be outrageous. I mean, after all, what are they going to do? Hold their own? No, you don't have to hold your own show. You have a couple of women's matches before Raw officially starts or after. You have a couple before SmackDown starts or after. You put them together. You got an hour show, three matches, just like 205 Live featuring the entire women's division. And that's it. But one thing you don't do, you don't say to the women, we're teary-eyed watching you steal the show, and we're so proud of you that we're giving you your own pay-per-view. And then in 6 months from now or 5 months from now, say, well, we're back to Saudi Arabia. Have fun staying home. You don't do it. And by the way, they've called it Evolution because, of course, it's always a great idea to call it after Triple H's all-male click. Just didn't like it. I know a lot of people did. A lot of people wrote me saying, this is big, this is big, this is big. I call this damage control. That's what I call this. Anyway, the B team is backstage, almost forgot their belts. still doing their comedy act. Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy get their the Deleters of Worlds get their rematch for their belt. And not only was this not a good match, it was a very, very poor match. And all it really accomplished is the B team are the luckiest team on the face of the earth. They have no talent and can't win fairly. They win when the other team screws up because they're so wacky and their style is so bizarre. It's very hard to deal with them, and they just get insanely lucky. Because that's what you want your tag team champions to look like. Two insanely lucky guys. No need for talent. We have luck. You too could be the tag team champion. So let's see how much we think of the tag team championships. First, Braun Strowman and a 10-year-old boy have them. Now the B team has them and are portrayed every single week as a team who should not win, but get lucky when fate, the hand of fate, strikes somebody else down. And all this has really done is make Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy look like a third-rate comedy act. Oh, we can't get out of each other's way. Yeah, you guys are real great. The eater of worlds and the, you know, the leader. We can't beat the B team. Can't function together. Can't do anything. It's okay to have portrayed the B team as getting that one lucky victory. But then you have to start to make it appear as though that built their confidence. And now we're seeing the real Curtis Axel and the real Bo Dallas, and they're much, much better. The idea behind this should have been this. The Miz kept them down. The Miz told them, you guys aren't any good without me. You need me. Simple as that. If I was to ever cut you loose, you could do nothing, and they believed it. And then they find out, wait a minute, we won a match. Well, maybe that was just luck. And then they win another match, and they're like, we don't think this is luck. By this time, they should be showing their skill, and people should be saying, where was this Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas? Maybe it was The Miz who was holding them down. Maybe The Miz's plan was to make sure they thought they couldn't accomplish anything without him because these guys are good. Nope. Make them bumbling idiots who only win by luck. It's like a Looney Tunes thing. I mean, it's just not working. And we know what's going to happen. They're either going to drop it to the Revival or they're going to drop it to the Authors of Pain, Todd. It's a story that's already told.
Absolutely right there. Right now, like you said, I would have the B team be like, no more comical stuff. Have them be like a serious tag team, be like serious defenders and serious fighters for as tag team champions. But no, they keep them as comical tag team champions.
Couldn't they come out there, Mike, and simply say, we want to thank all the fans because without you guys, we probably never would have had our confidence. We were told we were third bananas. We were told there was no place for us really except to carry the Miz's luggage. But you guys kept cheering us. You guys kept wanting to see us, and we got an opportunity because of it. And now look where we are. I mean, that would be better. And then let's see the real talent behind it. So they're not always winning by sheer luck, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. That's the way it should have been. I mean, that's the way it should have been with Fandango and
Breeze,
and Tyler Breeze. You know, that's the way it should have been. And I mean, that's the way it would have been in the old WWEF, you know. That's the way, if you get a team like this in the Attitude Era or the Ruthless Aggression Era or even earlier than that, that's the way it would have been. You get a team, oh, they lucked out and won. Team X lucked out and won, okay. Let's see what they do in the next match. Well, they won again, but it wasn't quite as lucky, you know. Then they keep winning, and then – and then at some point down the line, okay, we're good enough now that we by putting the championship on them this early, it's like we said, they skip a bunch of chapters in the book. You know,
all they really needed to do, Mike, was give them 20 minutes or 15 minutes to have a really, really, really super match with the Deleters of Worlds, where they showed their talent and did not win by luck. And then people would say, okay, well, wow. All right, these guys stepped up. Nope, it's a comedy act. It's Abbott and Costello. Anyway, we go backstage where Sasha and Bayley are basically now, you know, life partners, I guess. They're hugging each other and telling each other how much they love each other. This is a couple of weeks after they were trying to kill each other. And I don't know what to make of this. I don't know whether we're just being led on a journey and then they're going to turn on each other for the pay-per-view, or whether there's going to be a tag team tournament for the pay-per-view, like some people are saying. I don't know where this is going. But they lost me a long time ago. So they're told, by the way, the promoting theme of the show is Elias keeps trying to sing a song from his new album and he can't because he's interrupted. But anyway, Sasha and Bayley come out. They fight local talent. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know what the point was. What's the point? The point is to say we're friends again. Well, we know that. We saw that last week, and we saw it this week backstage. So I'm assuming there is going to be a women's tag team championship match at some point, because otherwise I don't know why you're pushing tag teams. So there's not really much to talk about there. It was a squash match. It is what it is. We're treated to Finn Balor being told by Baron Corbin that basically he has a new dressing room and it turns out to be a little kiddie playhouse. It's whatever. You know, maybe it was because the whole women's pay-per-view thing left a bad taste in my mouth, what with the Saudi Arabia nonsense. But so far, I am not enjoying Raw. I'm also not enjoying Raw for another reason. I mean, the Elias thing bothers me. How come he doesn't confront anybody anymore? Is he, in fact, a professional wrestler? He was quick enough to hit Seth Rollins with a guitar and try to attack Braun Strowman and everybody else. All of a sudden, it's, oops, nope, here comes somebody. I better stop singing and run. So I don't know where that's going. Mickie James defeats Natalya. Why? Just to have a match. No other reason. That's it. Just to have a match. So again, what is there to talk about? Nothing. Mojo Rawley defeats Tyler Breeze again. I like Mojo Rawley. I really do. I like the way he's coming along. He always looks like a guy who is really trying to kick your ass and doesn't much care for you. But I don't need to see him beat Tyler Breeze every week for the next 7 weeks. Is there someone else in that locker room? Anyone? Or is that it? We've ran out of people. Because you only have on your roster, I don't know, like 4,000 wrestlers. Is there possible someone else other than Tyler Breeze can fight? Or you know, I had to make sure I didn't accidentally record the wrong Raw. It's practically a duplicate match. I like Tyler Breeze, Mike, and I very much like the way that Mojo was handling himself, but I don't need to see this every week.
Yeah, I don't need to see it every week as well. And another thing I don't need to see is, did you catch the name of one of the local talents that Bayley and Sasha fought? Karen Lundy. Not spelled the same way, but Karen Lundy. And we know who Lundy is. What are they doing when they do this? First, it was C.J. Lundy. Now this is just—is this going to be a running joke against Arn Anderson now? Every so many months.
I guess. Yeah. Look, I don't know. I don't know where they're coming from with this. I don't even know why there was a match, other than maybe there's going to be a tag team tournament for the women's belt. Otherwise, let's face it: the whole Sasha Bayley thing doesn't make any sense. If Sasha and Bayley were at each other's throats, Kurt Angle should be salivating, saying, good, we'll put them in a match together, and boy, will the fans get great action. Not like, no, you must be friends. Why? Why must they be friends? How about if he did that to Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman? No, you must be friends. Why? So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Zero sense. A couple of people have been asking me about the Elias thing. It is, in fact, an album. You can, in fact, download it on Spotify and iTunes. It's only four songs, though. It's an EP. It's not an actual album. It's four songs. And, yes, it is a joke. It's not. I mean, it's four songs, but it's Elias-type songs. It's not legit, like, songs about whatever. It's always about him and how stupid people are and stuff like that. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's fun, but it's a joke. It's not serious. Some people were asking me, is this going to be actually a serious musical effort? No, it's a WWE tie-in. You know, it's all about his character. It's not legitimate songs. It's comical type stuff. Okay, so we get to Finn Balor versus Drew McIntyre, courtesy of Constable Corbin. And I'm kind of looking forward to this match, because up till now, there's been nothing to look forward to. Nothing on Raw to look forward to. So I say to myself, well, I think they're going to have to throw Finn to the wolves here. I think Finn's going to have to put up a good effort, but McIntyre's going to have to, you know, defeat him at the end and say, man, you know, and McIntyre's a force to be reckoned with. Because eventually, that's kind of what you want. But again, the WWE makes a critical mistake. And the critical mistake is, the story told is not, oh, man, Finn is tough, and he hung in there against a guy way bigger and way stronger than him. But in the end, it was just too much. Dolph Ziggler was out there distracting him. It's too much. Then they beat him down, and then Seth Rollins runs out. Nope. Dolph Ziggler gets Drew McIntyre disqualified, causing his loss. Seconds before, he just would have been clean pinned, because Finn Balor was dominating him. Does that make sense to you? You're trying to build Drew McIntyre up as a major force to be reckoned with, and he can't get by a guy who's 5'7", 160 pounds, without help. Seconds away from being pinned. And Ziggler has to make the save, otherwise helpless Drew McIntyre would have suffered a loss to Finn Balor. That's the story they chose to tell, rather than to tell Finn Balor put up a great fight against two guys. But in the end, the numbers game was too much. Drew McIntyre hits him with the Claymore, and then because Dolph Ziggler got humiliated outside the ring when Balor slid out and beat his ass, he jumps in and starts beating on Balor. And so does Drew McIntyre. And down to the ring comes Seth Rollins for the rescue. That's the story that should have been told, Todd. Instead, they tell the opposite one.
Oh, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right there. Like you said, they should have told the right story, but they told it the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally the wrong way. It's not that the match is a bad idea. The match itself is a good idea. But you have to tell a story out of that match, Mike, and that story ends up being Drew McIntyre was moments away from losing and had to be saved by Dolph Ziggler, as opposed to Finn Balor was putting up a valiant effort, but nobody could overcome two people, and eventually the odds got him, and then these two bad guys start beating him down, and Seth makes the save.
Yes, and furthermore, you look at how he wrestled that match, how Balor wrestled that match, and it's not the way Balor should have wrestled that match. It's basically going back to the old Balor, where he's sitting there punch for punch with a guy who's, you know, 6'7", and near 300 pounds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what he should have been doing. What he should have been doing was sticking and moving, and yeah, then that story you tell, you said to tell, you tell that story. yeah, I'm not sticking move yet, but Drew Galloway gets his Drew McIntyre gets his hands on you, then that's when the fun begins, because Drew McIntyre gets to beat him down some, you know, and put him in the corner and keep him in the corner and 1-2-3 Claymore, whatever you, then right. You tell that story, then you have all that other stuff happen. And then if you want to go ahead and set up that tag team match, you know.
Yeah, look, the thing is, let's say you don't want Finn Balor to lose. You say, well, he can't suffer another pinfall loss. Okay, well, then do it the other way then. Do it that Finn Balor is fighting two people. At some point, he dives out the ring and hits Dolph Ziggler. Beats his ass for a minute. Slides back in. But he's getting mauled now by Drew McIntyre. And Ziggler, hot-headed that he is, jumps in the ring and says, nobody's going to beat me up like that. I'm beating his ass. The referee calls for the disqualification. You see Drew McIntyre kind of give Dolph a look like, what'd you just do? You just got me disqualified. But then says, out of hell with it, and they both go to beating on him. That accomplishes two things. One, it gives you that half second of, I don't think Drew McIntyre was too happy about that, which plants a seed in us, how much of this is McIntyre going to put up with. But the second one is, but at the end of the day, he said, to hell with it, I'd rather beat up Finn Balor, and here comes Seth to make the save. But anyway, they decided not to tell that story. The story now is Drew McIntyre is not able to overcome Finn Balor without help. So Seth Rollins comes down, and right away we get a tag team match. This is probably the best match of the night. And I guess the point to it is you have Seth Rollins beat Dolph Ziggler so that you can then set up a SummerSlam rematch. But I don't know, folks. Fans did not give that match a very good review. I thought it was okay, but fans did not give that match a very good review. They were not too happy with it. And I don't know if they're going to be happy just stretching this out another 3-4 weeks. Maybe they will be. To me, though, it always appears when Finn Balor is used, he's used in a capacity of furthering someone else's storyline and never his own. Now, maybe he'll get a match with Drew McIntyre one-on-one at the SummerSlam. Maybe that's what this is all about. But it always appears to me that Finn Balor's storyline always involves, well, yeah, but then someone's going to come down because we want that someone and someone else to fight them. So let me get to my best moment of the night. It was a little earlier on, and it was coming during one of my worst moments of the night, where Braun Strowman decides to come out with a briefcase and literally just say, I want to say how proud I am of all the women back there. I'm like, oh, well, there goes Braun Strowman's character. You could just throw Braun Strowman's character completely out the goddamn window. Especially my mixed tag team partner, Alexa Bliss, because it makes a really, really, really lot of sense for a face to be talking up how proud he is of a heel. I don't care if that's his mixed tag team partner. But then I say, well, maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel here. Because Kevin Owens comes out and gives a really good speech that I'm buying into. He's saying, look, the bottom line of the situation, no more nonsense, no more wrestling hype. You tried to kill me. You tried to end my career. Don't you think that's going a little bit too far? And if you want to just end all this wrestling nonsense, let me tell you why I tried to be your friend. Because my son thought you were cool. And I thought maybe we could be tag team partners or something. And maybe that would be cool. Now I can't even leave my house because my son and my daughter think I'm going to get killed by you. And they used to think their dad was indestructible. So, I mean, I hope you're proud of yourself. And I'm saying to myself, this is it. This is Kevin Owens' turn. They're going to do a double turn. Braun Strowman's going to be the heel with the Money in the Bank briefcase, who bluffed the fans into thinking he was a nice guy for a little while. And Kevin Owens is going to be that guy who says, now I got something to prove to my son and daughter. And I'm saying to myself, this could work. Especially the way Kevin Owens delivered the lines. I'm like, I'm buying this, okay? I'm into this so far. And Braun Strowman is in the ring laughing about it. And Kevin Owens is saying, yeah, you laugh. You think it's funny. But I don't think it's funny. Fought a lot of people here. Nobody tried to kill me. Nobody tried to end my career and make sure I couldn't put food on the table for my family. And I'm saying, okay, I'm with them. Now where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Directly to Baron Corbin. And I'm saying to myself, well, I guess they're not going to do that. I guess they're not going to make Kevin Owens flip and Braun Strowman the evil guy who's just got a vendetta against Kevin Owens and doesn't care about his family or his kids or anything. And I don't know. I don't understand it. If Kevin Owens was ever going to flip, last night was the time because everything he said made 100% sense. Fans were buying into it saying, I know how I would feel. He mentioned his family. He mentioned, I don't want to, you know, it's pretty hard to leave the house when your kids are crying for you not to because they don't know if you're going to be injured or come home at all. People can relate to that. I have no idea why you're doing that. You should have just, if he wasn't going to flip, then just leave it with that Kevin Owens ominous thing of saying, you tried to take everything from me, my livelihood as a performer. Now I'm going to take everything from you if it's the last thing I do as a performer. That would have been enough. You don't do the whole maudlin, my kids are crying, they thought I was dead. My kid was a big fan of yours, and I was hoping to really be your friend. And no, you don't do all that. That's what you do when you're flipping the guy. I don't know. I don't know where this is going, Mike. I do know that now they have a match where if Kevin Owens wins, he gets the briefcase. So they have at least listened to us at that particular point, because we were the ones who said at some point you should have to defend that briefcase if you don't cash it in.
And you know, and furthermore, when they said that, you know, not only did I think he was going to turn, but I thought, okay, there's a chance. There's at least a chance that briefcase leaves Strowman's hand. And there's a chance that he loses his match. But no, didn't happen. Should have happened, but didn't happen. You know? I mean, they can't. I don't know why with some things they're just so reticent to pull the string. I mean, they could have pulled a big string and had one of the biggest faces in Kevin Owens that they've ever seen. But they didn't want to pull the string on it, you know?
This was the time, Mike. What did I always say on this show? You let the bad guy do some things that fans really say wow to. He fell off a 20-foot ladder. Or was thrown off a 20-foot ladder. He got tipped over in the porta potty. He was propelled off the top of the cage. These are all things that fans are like, wow, Kevin Owens has given us some great moments. You know, Kevin Owens is the man. Then that's when you flip him. So if you have a Kevin Owens coming out talking about how his children were frightened, talking about how he tries to be, you know, a role model to his kids, talking about all that stuff, this was the moment. This was the moment for Kevin Owens to say, now my kids are terrified of you. And I think you like that. I think there's a part of you that likes that. I think you can say whatever you want, and you can come out here and, you know, pick a kid out of the audience if you want to. But to be honest with you, I think you like being feared. I think you like the fact that children, adults, people are afraid of you. And congratulations, because I'm afraid of you and my kids are afraid of you. But guess what? I'm going to prove to my kids that I can beat the monster. Because that's what I have to do now. People would have bought into that. People would have said, okay, that's cool. I'm with Kevin. You could have had that moment. Instead, you go for He's hugging Baron Corbin, who's attempting to, you know, cheat for him in some way, shape, or form. And Todd, I just don't understand why they're doing this with Strowman.
I don't know either. He's supposed to be like the face. Strowman's supposed to be, and Owen's supposed to be the heel in this, but somehow they reverse those roles without telling anybody.
If they even are, I just don't understand. This was that one moment, you know how I sometimes talk about moments that you start to say, uh-oh, and the hair on your arms stands up. When Kevin Owens started saying, my kids are afraid for me to leave the house, you tried to kill me, it's not anything to do with wrestling anymore, I'm like, okay, here we go. This is it. This is that big moment where Braun Strowman's true colors are revealed and Kevin Owens' true colors are revealed, and maybe they're not, one's not such a nice guy and maybe one's not such a bad guy. Here we go. And I'm ready to buy into it. I'm ready to say this was a really good idea. And no, they don't pull the trigger on it. So then we get Ember Moon. She's fighting Liv Morgan. I have no idea where Sarah Logan is. It's pretty much a nothing match. The only thing it was really for was to build up Ember Moon back after the loss. They've done it. I don't know. All I know is there's an awful lot of matches on this card that's kind of just like, eh, nothing to talk about there. But here's something that we can talk about. The Authors of Pain come out, interrupt Elias again. And they are followed by Titus Worldwide, who doesn't have a match with them. I don't know why the Authors of Pain came out. They never said the next match is whatever, just the Authors of Pain come out. Titus and Apollo Crews hit the ring and basically say, look, you know, you guys could learn some stuff. You're not, you've only been here for a short period of time. Apollo's playing up how long Titus has been there. He's father of the year. He knows a lot more about the WWE, and you guys could be invincible if you just listen, but you don't want to listen, which is all fine. Everything they're saying is great and fine and good. Here's what's not great and fine and good. I don't want to hear the Authors of Pain try to do one-liners. I don't want to hear them say, you know, maybe we spoke too soon. Maybe you can do something for us. Maybe you can retire. I don't want to hear the Authors of Pain like that. I don't want to hear the Authors of Pain at all. They're supposed to be two big, monstrous, mean guys who say very little. They just beat you up. And if they're going to turn into 300-pound Mizzes, I don't want to see it. I've already lost my feel of those guys being badasses because on top of the fact that they're terrible on the mic and they're doing like, I don't know what you want to call that type of heel, sarcastic, witty heel type shtick when they're supposed to be doing monstrous, you know, I'll just beat your ass type stuff. They get their asses kicked. They get ran off by Titus Worldwide. Just to set up a match where they're going to get squashed. Titus Worldwide, I mean. But for the life of me, I don't understand this. Again, you had your moment. The Authors of Pain didn't have to say a word. All they had to do was attack. You want this match? Here's the way the match goes. You want Marcus Kane's booking 101? Here's the way it goes. The Authors of Pain look at each other after Apollo has read them the riot act on how Titus deserves everyone's respect. They look at each other, shrug their shoulders, and attack him. Dana Brooke gets in the way. She gets shoved down hard by one of those guys. And instantly, the attention is focused. Apollo slides out. Titus slides out to see if she's okay. They leave the ring. And then you've got Titus and Apollo Crews with the opportunity next week to say the one thing you don't do. You don't put your hands on a woman, much less our member. And we might not be the toughest tag team in the world, and we may not be the guys purged to be the, you know, next greatest tag team champions, but we're not going to come there to fight you for prestige. We're just going to come there to kick your ass because of what you did. Then people would say, okay, well, we got to fight. Now we got to fight. Because the Authors of Pain, they're more than happy to fight. But I don't know, man. Titus looks mad, really mad. And Apollo Crews, who's normally Mr. I just go along with anything, you have to let Apollo Crews have that moment too, where he says that's not going to go unchecked, you know? You wanted us mad? Well, you got us mad. Because then I'd like to see the match. I know that the Authors of Pain are still going to win, but I would like to say, wow, okay, well, now we're going to see a fight. But no, it was actually Titus who attacked them first. So, Mike, how much sense does it really make, the whole angle?
It doesn't make any sense at all. And furthermore, I mean, we've been saying this for a while now. Make your damn mind up. Do you want the three of them together, or do you just want Titus and what's his name, you know, and Apollo? I mean, for how many weeks straight have we not seen Dana with them? And then they change her ring gear from what it was when she was with them to some dominatrix thing, and then
she's
back with them.
Yep.
I mean, and to your point about them, these two guys, they're not even the Ascension. The Ascension are funny guys. Yeah, they look tough, and yeah, they're one's a big guy, and one's a little bit smaller guy, but their whole gimmick is the Road Warrior gimmick. But when they put them together with Tyler Breeze and Fandango, they were funny guys, and they could carry that type of guy can carry that thing. These two type of guys can be the one line, the Ascension can be the one liner type of guys that can be funny if you want them to do that.
These guys cannot pull it off, Mike, and the only thing they had to do, I want you to picture what I portrayed happening. And then I want you to picture, okay, we're not interested in Titus Worldwide fighting the Authors of Pain. It's a boring match. We know the outcome. Now let's add this to it. Titus and Apollo leave the trainer's room where there's a girl there saying, you know, what's the condition of Dana Brooke? And say, well, what do you think? She's shaken up. What do you think happens when 200-300-pound men throw you around? And then they interrupt Kurt Angle and they interrupt Baron Corbin, having a little bit of a discussion where Baron Corbin says, you can't just barge in, and they say, shut up. This has got nothing to do with Monday Night Raw. It's got nothing to do with wrestling. Kurt, book the match. Because if you don't, it's going to happen in the parking lot tonight. And have him say, look, SummerSlam, okay? Can you hold it off to SummerSlam? If that's what you want, you got him. And then if you see a Titus who's not nice anymore, and an Apollo Crews who's fuming and smoke's coming out his nose, and even Baron Corbin is like, whoa, man, what happened to these two guys? That wasn't a part of the show. You know what I mean? You just act like Baron Corbin was told to shut up, and he's like, what the F, man? These guys are mad, like a hornet. Then I would say, we got a good match here. This could be very interesting. We're going to see a brawl. And either way, I know the Authors of Pain are probably going to win, but it doesn't matter. We're going to see a really good brawl, and we're going to, and they have furthered the Authors of Pain's heel persona, as well as Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews' face persona, so much that it's going to help both teams no matter who wins, Mike.
Absolutely. And like you said earlier, the cherry on the top of the cake would have been them throwing around Dana Brooke a little bit. I mean, Dana Brooke's not a small girl, you know. She's not, you know, one of these 100-pound girls. She's more like 130 pounds, 140 pounds, or whatever she is. So she can take that, you know, being pushed down or even being thrown around a little bit, you know. I mean,
look, you could have made this one of the best. Mike, you could have made this one of the best matches, or at least the most anticipated matches, all you'd have to do is a little cooperation from the writers and a little cooperation from the talent. Maybe you don't go to Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin. Maybe you go to Stephanie. And you say, Stephanie, we want a match. And she can say, look, I'm far too busy to deal with this. You guys got a problem. You know, look, I have more major stars to deal with. No offense. Then let them snap on Stephanie. Stephanie has to show a little ass and let them say, yeah, you got too much to do, right? You got to go out to the ring and announce how much you care about the women. But when one of them has their chances of being in this pay-per-view almost squashed, and maybe squashed by two animals, you don't care? Well, we do. So here's the deal. Give us the match, or it's going to happen now. It's going to happen in the parking lot. It's going to happen at the hotel. It's going to happen somewhere. And then Stephanie could say, you know what? I didn't think it was that serious. You're right. That's nothing to laugh at. You're right. It's not a joke. You want them, you got them. Great. I mean, there you go. You've got one of the more anticipated matches. It doesn't even matter who's going to win, Todd. It's still an anticipated match because you got a story.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, you have a story right there between the two teams, Titus Worldwide and the Authors of Pain, and you can have like Titus Worldwide be all mad and angry for what.
And what's the worst that happens, Mike? The worst that happens is they lose. But you say they still stuck up for Dana Brooke. They still stuck up for the women on the whatever, and the Authors of Pain are just two rotten SOBs. How does that not help all teams?
It doesn't. And you know, they're sticking up for Dana Brooke, and you know, yeah, she, and we know how Stephanie doesn't like to show ass, but in this case, she would almost have to show ass because they would be right. I mean, she comes in on late or early in the night. We're going to have this big pay-per-view. She has all the women, including Dana Brooke, step forward to tell them what they're going to do. And Dana Brooke doesn't get her shot.
And Mike, there's a story all to itself. Week by week leading up to this, you could have Dana Brooke saying, I'm trying really hard to, you know, I hurt my ankle or I hurt my leg or I hurt my shoulder, whatever it happens to be when they push me. You could have the Authors of Pain simply say, it's called collateral damage. Don't get in the way and you don't get hurt. Then you got the story of Dana Brooke trying to rehab herself in time. And if you really want a good match, let somebody attack her. And you say to yourself, well, what the hell, man? The poor girl's trying to rehab herself and this bitch attacks her. I want to see this match. I don't understand how you can't build these matches. It's so easy. It's so damn easy. By the way, I don't know if anybody noticed, but the fourth member of Sanity was front and center last night. Anyway, enough of that. This is how they don't want to build storylines. We then get Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley. And I'll tell you, I would have bet a considerable amount of money that this was not going to have an ending, that we were going to get some kind of a three-way dance. I almost thought in the back of my mind, my God, Brock Lesnar's going to be there. And when these two guys are laying on the canvas, can barely pick themselves up to fight, he's going to come out and demolish both of them. And they're going to end up a three-way dance. I really thought something like that was going to happen because I said, what is the point? What's the point of having Lashley beat Roman Reigns twice in a row? And what's the point of being 50-50? Because if Roman Reigns wins, here's what you got to understand, folks. Bobby Lashley beat Roman Reigns. And in doing so, he earned a spot to try to get to Brock Lesnar in that little mini tournament thing. Roman Reigns lost. And he gets the exact same opportunity Bobby Lashley got. And then he capitalizes on it and wins. So we have Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar again. And I have to tell you that it's too late, because even if Roman Reigns wins, it makes him look like a guy who got lucky. If you go play roulette in a casino and you lose five times and then you win once, that's called, well, that's average. In fact, it's below average. You better win more than once every six times or you're going to go bankrupt. So what does that say? Five out of six times, Lesnar could destroy Roman Reigns. But this one time, curiously, just before he leaves, Roman Reigns is able to conquer him. Now, it may not even happen, because I'm hearing now that Brock Lesnar is on the Monday Night Raw after SummerSlam. So they still may have something up their sleeve. I don't know what it would be. But I know the fans are not happy. And why should they be? You get Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler again. We just had an Iron Man match, a 30-minute Iron Man match. You want to see it again? That's one of your big title matches. Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar is likely. It's another one of your big title matches. I guess the B team is going to fight somebody. I don't know. Is this a great SummerSlam card so far? I mean, really, a Ronda Rousey is going to fight Alexa Bliss. By the way, remember when they said, you know, Ronda Rousey's going to be on every Raw, and then they had to say, well, we got to make pretend she's suspended because she can't be. And then when we said she's on Raw, we don't mean she's going to fight anybody ever. She's just going to show up and sit in the corner. She's going to show up and do an interview. She's going to storm the ring and put somebody in an armbar. She's not going to have any actual matches. How long has Ronda Rousey, since WrestleMania, Ronda Rousey has been in this federation? It's March. April, May, June, end of July, heading into August. 5 months. How many matches has she had? It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. So Roman Reigns wins, and here's the worst part of the whole news. Roman Reigns wins with a spear that doesn't even look like it would finish off Elvis Costello. Okay? Pee Wee Herman. He barely gets him with it. I mean, there's no shoulder at all. It's just like, oh, it's almost like a clothesline to the middle of your stomach. And it was from a prone position against the ropes where you couldn't have had a whole lot of momentum. That doesn't do Lashley any favors either. And we're in a position here now, Mike, where I'm beginning to care less and less about all of these people on Raw, because the people I do care about, Elias, they're doing nothing with. You can forget him. Seth Rollins, they're sticking in a feud that's going to be, I guess, eternal. Drew McIntyre is being made to look like he can't beat Finn Balor without outside interference. Braun Strowman is looking like, far from a monster. He's looking like, I don't know what he's looking like. Now he's just turned into a big redneck. And I'm saying to myself, who is it that I'm supposed to be caring a whole lot about here? What's your thoughts?
You're absolutely right, why should we care about the Authors of Pain? Why should we care about, Titus Worldwide? Why should we care about anybody on Raw for that matter? Even though Seth is getting a pop, we've said it before, the people we actually care about are on the other show. The other show that is called the B show, even though in my mind, it's not, even though the fact that, yeah, it's got some pull, so it's got its problems of its own, there are more people on that show that we care about than what we're talking about here. you know?
They've developed more characters, there's no question, and at least they've left these characters be the way they are. The Miz is still The Miz. Daniel Bryan's still Daniel Bryan. AJ Styles still does what he does. Rusev is likable. You know, the Jinder Mahal thing last night, coming out there with Braun Strowman, trying to give him lessons in peace or harmony, you can't get worse than that, Todd. I mean, it was almost embarrassing.
You're right there. I would be embarrassed if I did that skit too.
I don't know where you were. You're too far away from your phone. Couldn't hear you. But it was an embarrassing situation, Mike. It was just, if that's the best you got with a guy who's your former champion, man, how the mighty have fallen, huh?
Yeah, and look, here's the thing. You know, we praised them last week when we thought that when we knew that some of the stuff on last week's show was written by Paul Heyman. Obviously, nothing on this show was written by Paul Heyman, because obviously, if something was written by Paul Heyman, it would have been a better thing, probably.
I don't see any Paul Heyman's footprints on this, or fingerprints, I should say. So, Mike, what's your rating overall?
I'm going to go ahead and C minus.
Okay, I'm going to go to Todd. Todd, what is your rating on this show?
C minus.
We got two C minuses. I'm going to actually give it a worse grade. I'm going to give it a D minus. I think it failed on all aspects. What did it do? Destroyed the Authors of Pain. Makes them look like idiots. They're no good on the mic, and they should just be tough guys who don't say much. It weakened Drew McIntyre's character by looking like he was seconds away from losing to Finn Balor. And you could say, well, Finn's a former champion. I don't care. He's not being booked that way. And Drew McIntyre is supposed to be a guy who's very, very hard to beat. You're calling him the Scottish Terminator, and he almost lost to Finn Balor. Thing got old really quick. The Bailey and Sasha thing, I don't even know where it's going, and I don't care. The women's announcement sounded to me like a, here's a cookie for Saudi Arabia. Shut up and sit down. Mojo and Tyler Breeze, seen it. It's okay, but I've seen it. Seth Rollins and Finn Balor had a pretty good match with Dolph Ziggler and McIntyre, but that doesn't save the whole match. Kevin Owens' thing was brilliant, but it led nowhere. It led to him still being a heel, and Braun Strowman, his character's weakening by the minute. By the minute. And unless they do something major with him right away, they're going to lose that character. The fans are not going to be into him like they were if this continues. They were booking him exactly correctly, and now they've taken a huge U-turn. Anyway, we'll see what transpires tonight on SmackDown. We're having a tournament for the tag team number one contenders. We'll be back here on Friday with a SmackDown report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.